somebody would have looked at this and went, slurp, hey, we don't need this contractor out there. Let's just snag it. And, you know, it would have been that good that they would have taken it. So,
right. And these days, they ignored it.
It was much
entirely.
More, it was just a completely different news environment back then. And you didn't have all the consolidation of media that you have today. Mm-hmm. People don't really understand that there's just a handful. You can count on one hand the major news corporations that are controlling all of these outlets. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing CNN, this was back in the days when you were limited as to how many stations you could own. And during the Bush administration, an FCC eliminated that rule. And so then what happened after that was you had guys like Clear Channel and whatever. They were just clear-cutting, and they would go into towns, buy up radio stations. And then the first thing they would do is install their black box in the head end to take their studio feed. And then the next thing they would do is fire the local news department because they didn't want local news. Mm-hmm. And they would keep the salespeople and a few others, and that was about it. And so we just don't have competition in media like we had back then. That was one of the reasons why, you know, Turner really had to be edgy. He had to be right on, right out there and getting those stories. Mm-hmm. Was there was competition. Today there's not competition, for news stories. It's competition for advertising.
Yeah. All right. So now we talked about information going missing, and you know my reputation is that when a black hole develops in the information, I assume the truth is sitting right there in the center of the black hole. And rather than running from the black hole, I tend to try and dive in. I want to find it. And if you see ripples on the water and you want to know where the pebble is, go follow the ripples backward. And mm-hmm. then when you get back to zero point, go straight down. You'll find the pebble. And that's the way information is as well. So this information has gone missing. And the video link that I sent you is about information that mm-hmm. went missing for 5 hours. And mm-hmm. Then the difference in what we saw before and and what we saw after the five-hour period. Let's talk about that. You had a chance to look at it. And what this video, my understanding of this video, is what it purports to show is that there was a polarity shift in the magnetosphere.
Well, you know, I have been reporting for quite some time that
we have
to
step away for a break, Marshall. So hang on to that. We'll come back to that right after this break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Works better when you turn it on, Marshall. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And our discussion with Marshall Masters about this thing in the sky, and at the moment we're talking about a video that purports to document, if you will, that there was a polarity shift in the magnetosphere. In other words, the positive side is now the negative side, and vice versa. The negative side is now the positive side. And he's showing some official graphs and things like that. And I had just asked Marshall, what about that? What, first of all, you had a chance to look at the video. What do you think about his conclusion that these graphs show a polarity shift in our magnetosphere? Do you think he's correct?
Well, I would, we're watching. I've been watching the magnetosphere for some time, and there's been this ongoing deformation where it was pointed. Actually, the tail of it was pointed down. Usually, it just the tail of it is going heading out towards the moon, in that direction, heading away from us because that's where it's going from the sun. But we were, for years, we've been seeing these abnormal deformations. So if he's getting to a point where he's saying the magnetosphere flipped and it's causing the earthquakes, I can't comment to that. But
why not?
Well, First off, I've seen what he has here.
Uh-huh.
We would have to go through, reconstruct all the data.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second thing is, the problem with reconstructing the data is, and this is one of the things we're working on right now in our team and we're researching, is what I call jiggering of the data. And, you know, here, the guy had a chunk of time missing, and then it comes back and has another graphic. And, yeah, was there a cover-up there? No question. There was a cover-up. Because this is typically what you look at the timing. First off, it's late night when everybody's asleep. All right? So you pick a time that, you know, you're going to have the fewest number of people to see it. And 2 o'clock in the morning is a few number of people. And that, he makes the case. But for the earthquakes, you know, think back, just in your mind. And for the listeners out there, stop, clear your mind, think about this, and I'm going to ask you a question. When was the last time you ever heard USGS upgrade an initial quake report? When was the last time?
They don't do it.
They always do what?
They downgrade it.
You betcha. All right. So if you have a 7.1, it becomes a 6.9. If you have a 6.1, it becomes a 5.9. All right. And the other thing, too, is that the scale has been changed. So it's been denuded. So there's this continual tampering with the data feeds that are going to the to the public. And again, you know, we're in the land of plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that he may be correct, but it would, in order to verify that he's correct, it would take quite a bit of reconstruction of data.
Yeah, and we're actually working on that reconstruction of data. So, you know, but this is something where we're going back, you know, we're going back to the 80s to do this. Because I'm trying to find a reliable baseline before all of this tampering came on. And now I see it as tampering. I've been watching it for years. People are going to disagree. Yeah, that's fine. But I see this kind of stuff. I'm glad that this guy picked up on it. He's monitoring these feeds. Stuff disappears, comes back, and what was there before is not there before. And if you ask them, they say, well, the site just automatically updated. There's going to be some sort of dismissive reason why that information has disappeared. And then if you press them on it, it'll be, well, it was anomalous information, so don't worry about it. And it's always that way. Something breaks, something's anomalous. You know, there's always these little excuses to bury this stuff. And it's a very effective strategy.
Okay.
Very, very effective strategy. Because, you know, right now the whole topic is languishing. Because the information that we were getting is being throttled so significantly.
All right. So let me bring the two topics together, the two that we have talked about. We've talked about this object in the sky. And the fact that the camera that was monitoring it has suddenly gone dead with an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about that, and now we've talked about this magnetosphere thing. So let me ask you a question before I get to the big question. This is important, though. About when did the camera go dead?
This camera, well, actually, all you even have to do is just to go right out to the site. And I think the same camera in Turrialba, the same freeze image is there. It was May 29th at 15:45 Central Standard Time.
Okay, so that doesn't match the 5-hour period of time when the magnetosphere flipped.
No.
So that's what I was looking for, to see if it matched. All right, so now here's the big question. You mentioned to me today that whenever we talked about this, you told me about the fact that you'd been monitoring the magnetosphere and it was, you know, getting slammed always from the sun side, but you'd been noticing for some time now that it's also being slammed from the other side by something.
Yeah, tell us about that. Across another video, and we're researching that, and this fellow went through and did a time study on it. And this is where we tend to do better. If you have isolated incidents, you know, it's like UFO. It's like there's not enough evidence to pile on the table for a smoking gun that people are going to want to believe. On the other hand, when you look at things over time, you get historical data. Now that's a different thing. Now you've got some real useful information. And so this one particular video is what he is showing is that our planet is now catching solar wind from two directions, from the sun and from behind us. And we really are fascinated by this, and so we're going through and we're looking at this very closely. And that, to me, is a strong argument for what he's talking about, Planet X, Blue Kachina, Red Kachina, whatever name you want to call it. But the thing is, where is that other solar wind coming from? Because that is something, when I looked at it, I went, wow. You know, it's on the forward side of the sun, it's one thing. But on the reverse side, you know, what you have is around the edges of the sun and going back, the direction is going backwards. But sandwiched in between that are solar winds that are coming in from the opposite direction going towards our equator.
All right.
Wow. Now that is... When we saw that, you know, my eyes just went, whoa, I haven't seen this before. And so we're digging into it. And this YouTuber's position on it is that if we have another, if we're in a binary star system, what we're seeing is solar wind coming in from another sun.
All right. Now, in a previous show that you and I did about this Blue Kachina, this thing in the sky, that's no longer visible because the camera, or it's visible, I'm sure, but you can't see it because the camera's been deactivated.
We've caught sight of it from a couple other feeds, which I'll be putting up in my next video.
Okay.
Now, so it's been spotted elsewhere.
In a previous show, you said, and you explained the data for how you knew this, you said that this thing, whatever it is in orbit around something else that is in orbit around the sun.
Precisely.
That something else, could it not be what's causing that other solar wind? And could this all work together to produce the change in the magnetosphere that the YouTuber purports to document?
Yeah, you know... He's got a situation where he's saying he's observed this and he's drawing an inference that there's a coincidental relationship or direct relationship between seismicity and this event.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk to that. I mean, you know, to...
Well, I understand that, but the change in the magnetosphere.
The change in the magnetosphere, yeah, it's changing. We're seeing changes with the planet. You know, another story that's really been hot on the YouTube side is this concern that magnetic north, the North Pole, is moving so rapidly towards Siberia.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it kind of corkscrews around, but it has in the last, this year, you know, it's been quite interesting. It's covered a lot of ground this year, a lot more than it normally does, and it has slowed down which, you know, would suggest that, yeah, it's going to do what it does. It's going to just corkscrew back, and maybe it's just got a bigger pattern, and it's going to take more time to eventually work its way towards Siberia. But still the same. You know, the degree of travel is just stunning as well, to how far North Pole has traveled.
But my question here has to do with relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility, even maybe a probability, of relationship between the fact that here this guy is documenting a major change in the magnetosphere,
mm-hmm.
and we have this object, Blue Kachina or whatever, in the sky orbiting around something that is itself in orbit around the sun, and your documentation of the fact that we're getting solar wind from two directions. Mm-hmm. Is there a relationship with all of that? I mean, does all of that sort of fit together that maybe this change in the magnetosphere is being caused by the thing the Blue Kachina orbits?
Yeah, I see a relationship there. I see all of this anomalous behavior, all these these strange patterns that we're seeing not only with our sun, with our planet, but we're seeing with other planets as well. There's a lot of things happening in the system. And it all speaks to the presence of an interloper, a perturber that's coming through the system. And also the other thing is that, you know, that the meteorite in Russia,
mm-hmm.
that thing, NASA's official story is that it caught him off guard because it came from behind the sun.
Okay.
Came out of the sun. And that's what we're seeing here. All of these objects that we're observing on these webcams are close to the sun, which makes it very difficult to observe them. You can only see them either just before sunset or just before sunrise.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll get back to all of this in just a moment. Don't go away, folks. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Marshall Masters. And Marshall, one of the things that I've talked about many, many times on this show is that events don't happen in a vacuum. Information is not in a vacuum. And in fact, if you're dealing with information that appears that it is in a vacuum, in other words, it's just isolated information,
mm-hmm.
And it appears that it's in a vacuum, that's one of the first signs of a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, information doesn't happen in a vacuum. And if it appears to be, someone has made it appear to be. But in over the course of time, you're talking about historical data, and I'm not taking a look at the data like you do, in detail like you do, but just looking at the events happening, kind of a big canvas approach over a course of time.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this object, and then the next thing is you're able to say it is an object that it's not a reflection, it's an actual object. And then you're able to say it is an object that is in orbit, but not around our sun. It's in orbit around something else that apparently is in orbit around our sun. And then you're able to say it's got four companions. You're able to say, well, you know, we've been tracking the fact that, you know, the magnetosphere is getting hit with solar wind from two different directions now. And, of course, you know, the sun is not in two places, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's getting hit from two directions, there is a second source for this energetic wind, this solar wind. And then now comes this video where he's showing the charts. In fact, folks, the picture that's on my website is from one of those charts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It looks just like that.
Yeah. And, and I think the guy did a really good report with his video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has some assumptions that I just, I can't comment to them. I can't say yes, I can't say no. But, you know, what I have seen, particularly in the last year, is there's a fresh crop, you know, there's fresh blood coming into the topic. New people are coming in with fresh eyes, and they are seeing things that just delight me, that they're picking up on these details, and they're bringing a lot of passion to this. It's not this cornball amateurish stuff. It's people who are seeing something, and they are trying to make a really intelligent effort to convey and share that information with others. Uh-huh. And I am just really, really delighted to see it. I mean, the cover-ups, Kevin, you know, been seeing that forever. But it's this new generation of folks coming on YouTube with really, really good material, really fresh ideas. It's excellent, and I'm sure it's got the disinformationalists in a scramble mode sometimes.
What do you think's causing the fresh crop?
Well, first off, this is a topic that is not going to die. All right, it'll have its times when it lulls, and then times it just comes charging back. But it is something that people keep coming to this topic because they're seeing what's happening in the world. They are seeing all of these changes with volcanism and seismicity and weather weirding. And, you know, it's just the old rationalizations and the old explanations just don't cut it. And so they're seeing something. You know, it starts off with, and the point of contact where the rubber meets the road is that first question, which is, what am I seeing here? And that first question is huge. I would say that maybe 2 or 3 out of 100 is going to ask that question. Everybody else is going to look at it. And if they feel the tickle to ask that question, they know where it's going to lead. And they don't want to go there. And so they go, no, this is not my cup of tea. And they, you know, boom, they bounce out. And so it's a very rare group of people that'll look at this and say, I need to understand this. And then when they do that, they'll want to share it with people. And the fact that there's so many of these new YouTubers that are coming on and really doing genuine work just impresses me. It tells me that there is a much broader phenomena going on here, a much bigger awakening than people really expect.
All right, and so now let me...
That's a good thing.
Let me ask you to throw modesty aside as we talk about the change, the sea change, if you will, in people being interested in this and a whole new crop of people coming on and looking at it. Have you had anything to do with opening those eyes and creating that interest?
Maybe indirectly people would see my work and do something, but most of the time the things I'm seeing are people coming in with fresh, you know, they're seeing something and it's not like they're looking for fresh angles, not that they want to talk about something somebody has not talked about before. They're coming in with simple pursuit of truth stories. And like this, like the guy that you linked, all right? And sure, you know, they can, you're going to get some sort of credentialed expert to say bad science, bad astronomy, amateurs, and all kinds of other patronizing and dismissive nonsense. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it's like, hey, these guys can be just as wrong as anyone else. They're trying to pay for their kids' orthodontia and their child support.
Now you're talking about the PhDs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, so, I mean, they got to go where the bread's buttered. You know, the golden rule, who has the gold makes the rules. And when you have these sites that are going up and they're showing this information and then people are following it and they're doing YouTube videos, you can just see this. It reminds me of the old parades when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, they have all these horses, and they'd be going, and you knew the parade was over when the guys were coming behind with the big wheelbarrows and the shovels, you know? Yeah. Imagine what goes in there. And when I look at this manipulation, it's literally about as elegant as the pooper scoopers following the horses. Mm-hmm. And they're patching and band-aiding and doing all kinds of quick and cheesy fixes. It's gotten past the days when they just didn't have to worry about it. So you see these manipulations going on. I see them all the time. And if this weren't happening, the topic wouldn't be in somewhat of a lull right now. It would be hotter. So when you have the guys that are putting up these videos like this, they're not buying into this artificial lull. They're digging. God love
them. So it sounds like I'm hearing you say that even if they make some assumptions that you think are big leaps that maybe are not totally supported by their what they found, it's still good work.
You bet. Absolutely. I just love these guys. When I see them and I see them coming out there and doing this stuff, that is fabulous. That is service to others, and I just love them for it. So, you know, this is going to go on. Right now, I see we're in a stage where there's all kinds of this manipulation, and it's Band-Aid manipulation. There's going to come a point where events get so significant, it's just not going to be worth their while to try and sweep it under. It's just going to be to a point where it's so much in everyone's face that it's just going to roll forward from there. But the manipulation...
In other words, there's going to be too much poop to scoop.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping there's not too much. I mean, all they have to do, keep in mind... it goes back to the simple formula of Titanic rules. You know, elites get the boats and steerage goes down with the ship. We're steerage. And so the first to fall are going to be the last to know. And as long as we are the last to know, as long as there's public consensus that there's, you know, all is well, nothing to worry about, and then it hits, at that point, the public is going to be so unprepared. Even if they hate the government's guts, they're going to have to roll with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is really... over the years, you know, yeah, there was this... Well, the government is just trying to prevent a panic and from collapsing the country and so forth. I just don't buy that anymore. I just see more of... this is just intervention on behalf of elites, and we're going to know that the guacamole is hitting the fan when the tarmac at Denver International looks like a bad case of the measles with corporate jets.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I have a few more questions of Mr. Marshall Masters. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Marshall Masters. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here, and you have my most sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. My sincere, best, most ardent wishes, prayers, dreams, and meditations that that tragedy never befalls you again. We are talking about the object in the sky that Marshall and his group have been monitoring and collecting data regarding. But coupled with that, we have thrown in information from a YouTube video that has just come out shows a polarity change in the magnetosphere. And what we're talking about is what are the possibilities that all of this is actually related. And now we just begun to talk about the fact that events are going to become so obvious that they will be undeniable. And being undeniable, it means that everybody will see them. And there's no longer any way to say, no, it didn't happen, because it'll be happening all around us right at your toenails. And with that being the case, Marshall, you have stated on the show before, and you've stated in writing, what you're talking about is real mega catastrophes, or in some cases, if they're not mega catastrophes, it's a swarm of catastrophes giving you a mega result. And so people will be cast into pretty much a survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
In conversations that I've had with you since our last show, in fact, right after that last show, and we were on the line still talking after the show, is the first time it came up. You talked about, and folks, I want you to listen carefully to this. You talked about an ancient breathing technique that you think could be very key to people surviving.
Absolutely. It's called Dundrum breathing, and I came across it actually with interviewing a fellow by the name of Roar Shepherd.
My conversation with Marshall Masters, and we started out talking about the object that he and his group have been documenting and analyzing, and the fact that the camera, the object in the sky, and the camera that was observing it day after day disappeared. Well, the camera didn't disappear, the feed did, went down. We talked about a video that is on YouTube that discusses the shift in polarity of our magnetosphere. We talked about the relationship between all of that, and it has now evolved into a discussion that I found very, very interesting when Marshall and I talked about it in private conversations, and that is a an ancient Korean technique that enhances health in a lot of different ways. And according to Marshall, if you even break a sweat doing this, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it correctly.
What do you got left when all that? All the modern marvels of medicine are boiled down to sewing needles and dental floss. This is what you're going to have. You're going to have it to help you with back pain, menstrual cramps, a number of different things. It's not a panacea. It's going to help you, and it's something you do. So, you know, you're in a survival situation. Dundrum breathing is going to help you. A good box of baking soda is going to help you. Colloidal silver could help you. These things are all great benefits.
Okay,
I am agnostic.
You need to give the web address
care
real quick.
If it works.